News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. Deanna Marie Price Lambert. Did I get them all in there?
Yeah, you did.
Let's just keep giving. Hey, Deanna, it is so good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's so good to hear yours as well.
Olympian Deanna Price joining us this morning. You know, and to be honest with you, Deanna, there's not hardly a day that's gone by, especially about 2 or 3 months ago when I was thinking about you pretty regular when the people in charge of the Olympics, no, we're doing it, no, we're doing it, no, we're, and then next thing you know, no, we're not. How'd you take that news?
It was a lot of high anxiety because, you know, we're trying to prep to get ready because actually today would have been the day that I would have qualified for Olympic trials. Today would have been the day. Competing at Olympic trials to go to the Olympics in Eugene, Oregon. So, you know, today it kind of hit me that how fast it did come by, but when they were announcing, trying to decide whether or not we were actually going to be able to compete, it was a huge roller coaster ride because, you know, we're trying to set up our training and trying to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to play it out. And, whenever they cancel it, they were talking about postponement for a couple months. They were talking about maybe just putting off for 6 months and then doing it in the late fall. And then there was talk of, you know, well, we'll just do it in the spring of next year. And so it was just such a high anxiety because you try to figure out how you're going to plan what you're going to do because you've never, you know, I've been doing this since 2011. And I'm like, how am I going to plan? What am I going to do? And
well,
he's like, just keep with the schedule. We're just going to keep it on that date. And that's what we're going to aim for. And we're just going to see how it works out. And
I think people, you know, when it comes to your sport, and maybe more so than a lot of other sports, you have to plan with your body. You know, if you're good at ice skating, you may peak to a certain event, but with you and muscle mass and timing that you really have to plan to peak during the period of time for a trial or for the Olympics itself, and I think that has a more profound effect on you than maybe other sports.
Yes, like I clean 140 to 150 kilos. I squat over 5 bills, you know. I do all these heavy mass liftings, and we do it in certain sequences to peak me out for competitions to kind of get me feeling good at the end of the year to where I'm aiming, you know, at Olympic Games and Olympic trials. And so for this, it was kind of, definitely a little bit more difficult than what we're used to. Luckily, JC has been wonderful and really keeping me in tune. And he's just been, you know, he found out that the SIU was planning on closing down their weight room. So we immediately went to Dick's Sporting Goods and, you know, we bought a weight rack. And then we went to Lowell's and he bought all this wood and he made like a platform, jerk boxes, clean boxes. And, you know, I never realized my husband was this handy with making wood. So I was very, very blessed. And, you know, all the post-collegiate athletes, you know, Josh Freeman, Alex Morgan, all SIU alumni, and my new training partner, Daniel Roberts, we all have now, we train in my garage. And, you know, it's been interesting. It really has. Luckily, my event keep social distancing of 6 feet. You know, nobody wants to be anywhere close to the hammer when it's swinging.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it does inherently, the hammer throw does enforce social distancing, doesn't it?
It does.
JC's ability with lumber, that's genetic.
It has to be.
Yeah, it is.
I know Steve always worked and his dad, you know, JC never really talked about it.
Yeah.
So I never thought that he actually got involved into it, but. You know, he did an amazing job, and, you know, it's been great lifting, getting things more in sync. We're taking time off now because we're just like, okay, well, they were trying to do nationals. They were talking about it being in August, just having a regular national. So I was like, okay, I can swing that. And now they're thinking about doing it in late September.
Wow, they keep moving the bars, don't they?
Yes. So to me, I was like, you know, it keeps getting pushed back. And then what university is actually going to be open to allow us to have this happen?
Yeah. Have you ever thought with all this that's going on and you look, did you ever think, I'm not going to go? Did you ever, 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 ever entertain that thought?
going to the Olympics this
year? Yeah, not going to the Olympics because of the pandemic.
Oh. With what was happening, I thought we were still going to be going, but a lot more medical procedures would be put in place. I was actually one of the people that did vote for it to be postponed for the following year. Okay. Because if it's just for safety reasons, you know, we're going to have skeptics of people saying that it's not real, it's the government. But is that the risk that we're willing to take to put other people's lives in jeopardy?
Well,
so going you, to. Sorry.
Well, you look at this, Deanna, the place you are going, I think maybe has an impact on that too. When you look at Tokyo or Japan more specifically, 17,968 cases as of June 24th with only 955 deaths. It's one of the countries that's had a success story with this. But then again, I've talked to a lot of people, says, is it worth it? And you have to do that internal equation. But, you know, most recently, and I saw you, I guess, in the fall at Cheryl's birthday party over at the restaurant in Marion, and you were literally giddy, ecstatic at the prospect of going to Tokyo. I could see it. I could feel it coming off of you in ways. You were ready to go. And that's one of the things that I had a concern about, because I envisioned you like being a race car running at 7,000 RPM setting in park.
Yeah, that's the one thing that everyone has to worry about is, you know, am I going to be healthy for the following year? I was good, ready to go for this year, but, you know, a full year, things change. So it was definitely probably one of the hardest decisions that everybody had to make, because for me, the reason why I voted for it to be postponed for the following year, because it's not Olympic Games is about equal fairness and playing fields for all. And if people can't train at their full capacity and are being subjugated to not being able to just be themselves and working and, you know, trying to figure out where income's going to come from and how are we going to throw, you know, I've been throwing on roads in the middle of fields, but people who are more in the city, where are they going to throw? And it's just making it a more equal playing field. That is one of the reasons. It was probably one of the hardest decisions because I just came off, you know, world champion. And this was, like, you know, that was my breakout, real good breakout year heading into the Olympic Games. And there's really, it was heartbreaking because, yeah. You know, I wanted to bring home another medal for SIU. I wanted to represent my university again and just be like, yeah, this is SIU. This is what we do. This is my family. This is where home is. And this is what I want to do with my life. And this is what I want to bring back to my community because, you know, SIU is such a fantastic place. I couldn't imagine, you know, doing what I do anywhere else.
Well, you know what? I listen to you talk, and then I think I've seen some of the articles written about you in your hometown newspaper in Missouri. And
then you think about, I love Missouri too.
They adore you, right? And I listened to your voice and how it changed when you talked about that, and I realize you are putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
Oh, you know, it's not so much. It actually makes it easier when I do it for somebody else. I'm doing it for my community. Because when I get in that ring, you know, it makes it so much more. It makes it worth more of all the people that I know that has my back. And I know, you know, where I came from, you know, you never forget where you came from. And that is probably the biggest thing about athletes is, you know, it's never just yourself. You did not do this by yourself. You know, you have a family. You have a community. You know, do it for a purpose and why you want to do it. And it makes it so much easier. And it keeps that drive going. Because when I would just do it for myself, I'd get so nervous and think about just me versus getting in there and doing it for we.
Weird thing. I was watching Big Bang Theory the other night, and Sheldon's talking about the subject of productive anxiety. And I'm thinking, oh, I know what that is. And you do too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just what we're already talking about. Here's a question just came in via the American Monument text line. It's Gary from Carbondale. He says, Deanna Price, does she prefer to be referred to as world champion since that is her highest achievement? That's a good question. I referred to you as an Olympian earlier. Or is that just kind of an intimidating moniker? Which one do you prefer?
You can just call call me hometown Deanna Braves.
Right? That's the humble part of this as well.
I don't know. It's so weird. I walk and people are like, world champion Deanna Braves. And usually, you know, I don't know. I don't like ever, you know, put myself, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
It is, isn't it?
Called that.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, it's interesting, because I have a kind of a military way of thinking, I find, in many aspects, and so that I've met you and become so fond of you and want to see you succeed, and then you identified to me who the people are that are the threat for you, and right, these are the good hammer throwers, and they come out of Germany, and they come out of, you know, portions of Europe where, you know, they have this incredible heritage about this, and you've challenged them on something that they've customarily, you know, been pretty strong on, right? Pretty hard to beat these folks when it comes to it, because this is very much their game, but you've done it. And I find this interesting, because I wonder, when you say you're going out in the field, but you worry about the ones in the city, and I can't help but wonder if your major competitors are facing the same challenges overseas.
Yeah, exactly. It's just wondering if they have that same kind of opportunity and chance. I know some of them are starting to gear up to get ready for competitions, because the coronavirus has not reached there. So, you know, and on top of it, a huge thing that's been going on is drug testing has stopped.
Oh.
So internationally. So it is a huge risk factor with that happening, with them stopping testers going to people, because then people will start getting on drugs.
Yep, build a little muscle mass with a little GHB you got the opportunity. Yes, I can see that.
But one of my really good friends is Joanna from Poland. And she's the one that I hugged like immediately right after winning Worlds. She is a great person. But, you know, my biggest competitors are probably going to be trying just to make the Olympic team. You know, it took 30 to make the World Championship team. And that was so much farther than what it took to make the Olympic team.
But you were setting records every time you were going out. Seems like you were setting records. You were just hammering it.
Yeah. I was like, it's just, probably making the Olympic team in the United States is probably the hardest team to make.
Yeah.
And women's hammer throw in the United States is booming. Like, there's now probably 10 females that can easily throw over 70 meters.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just kind of surging. I think they're starting younger. I think that, you know, coaches are getting better exposure and knowing how to do it, how to run the system. And it's, you know, and other countries are realizing it. Actually, they're like, whoa, what's happening over there? And I think it's because, you know, kids are starting at a younger age here now, starting in, you know, high school.
Right.
The first time I picked it up was in high school, but I didn't really stick with it. You know, I decided to go play softball.
And then came back around, yeah.
But, you know, kids, it's amazing. You know, winning nationals is like 72, 73 meters, and that's what I was throwing in my senior year. I went 73.09, but he's kids are throwing 70 meters consistently and really, really well.
Well, I think one of the things is, I think, and I know you're sensitive to this, that people are watching. And I think there's one aspect that maybe eludes you because of your inherently humble nature, but you've made the sport glamorous to a group of people that before would not have seen it that way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That is probably one of my biggest things, is just to impact somebody else to, you know, get up and get moving, being able to want to be something better than what they were the day before.
Yeah.
Honestly, women nowadays, they're so strong and they're so beautiful. Like, you can have the best of both worlds. You don't need to choose. You can have both. You be smart, strong, beautiful. You know, you have all these chances and opportunities in the world, you know. And that's one thing that I always pride my mom on, is that she never really put me in a box. You know, she was like, hey, you go with your brothers. Don't let them put up with that. You know, like, right. You know, outlift them, Deanna, pick them up. You know, she always challenged me. And my dad, you know, he was always great, because he would run out to practices with me in the middle of the day. And he was like, hey, you want to go do this? And I'd be like, yeah, let's go. And it's probably, I had such a great, you know, upbringing from my family and my friends and community You know, even when times were tough, when mom and dad, you know, both lost their jobs, you know, they still made sure that, you know, I went to school and I didn't have to worry. They made sure that, you know, they tried to, you know, not let me see them hurting. And I owe them so much because, you know, when I wanted to quit sports, they were like, no.
Well,
this is how you're going to be successful in life. This is how you're going to impact somebody else.
Right. And I can hear
that's what I wanted to do.
Right. And I get that. And that is one of the coolest things ever. Now, on the subject of your mom and dad, let's talk about them for a minute. You and I were sitting in a restaurant. We whipped out telephone and said, how far is it from Tokyo from here? Right? Remember that? We were doing that?
Yes.
And I said, well, are your mom and dad going to be able to go? And you'd said, I don't know. It's really expensive. And, you know, and look at all that they've done. Did you start a GoFundMe page, or are you going to do a fundraising? Because I know that cash is a thing here. Are you going to do something along that line so that your parents or maybe the rest of the family can join you in Tokyo?
Yes. The plan is to get my mom and dad and JC's mom and dad to Tokyo. That is the goal. And what we're going to be doing here in Southern Illinois is my husband has this massive barbecue pit. And what we're going to do is have a little cookout. So whatever you can donate, we're going to have meat available. We're going to have food. We haven't decided on the date due to COVID-19. And we plan on just, you know, trying to collect as much as we can to help out, you know, the funding for my parents and my in-laws to come to Tokyo. And, you know, we plan on setting up another GoFundMe account coming up. You know, I'm a little superstitious, so I always like to qualify first before setting up any funding.
Right.
Sorry, what was that?
That's a good call. It is.
Yeah, I'm a little superstitious, so I was definitely like, let me qualify first and then try to fund it on the back half. But,
right.
you know, but we plan on doing a little cookout, and what we're going to have for that is, you know, put it towards Olympic fund. So, you know, that money then will either go to, you know, helping me train, but primarily it would go to getting my family to Tokyo.
Right.
Because I will say one of the biggest things when I was in Rio, I was so nervous. My first two throws and warm-ups, I caged them. And you only get two. So I was like, you know, feeling high anxiety, really worried. And probably one of the coolest moments was seeing my mom. And I could hear her voice. And I didn't know what she was at first, but I could hear her. And I looked up. And I see her running around the arena with the American flag, just screaming, and to me, I was like, well, this is just like home. There's my crazy mom. I'm good now.
Yep.
it means the world to me. You know, Steve and Cheryl, my in-laws, are so supportive and so sweet and kind. And unfortunately, they weren't able to come with us to Rio. I would love for them to come with us to Tokyo as well.
Right.
You know, I have the best family. You know, my parents and my in-laws, you know, my community, I cannot speak higher about the love that I have, that I found in Southern Illinois and back home in Missouri. It's just one of those things that I will always be thankful for.